Well, if you're visiting here tonight and you're one of April's friends, we want to give you an especially warm welcome indeed. And you may also be thinking, particularly if you've never been in a church before, Christians are pretty weird. Why would they have a large hot tub at the front of church, which isn't even warmed up that much? Now, there's a nice man in our church who does warm it up well for us, but we would love it a wee bit warmer, but sure, we'll not complain about that. But you might be thinking, Christians are pretty weird. What's this all about? And you've heard some of the reasons why it's happening tonight and why April's doing what she's doing tonight. But you even have a Bible verse to help you know that Christians are pretty weird. In the Bible it says, in one particular translation, Christians are a peculiar people. And looking out here tonight, I see a few peculiar people. But you know what? If you're not a Christian here tonight, you're looking on at all of this. Everyone is a Christian here tonight is a story. April shared some of her story tonight. Shannon shared some of her story tonight. Reese shared some of his story tonight. Everyone's got a story. And if you're not a Christian here tonight, I wonder what your story is. As you come here tonight and you look at all this stuff that's happening and you see April making a public profession that she believes in Jesus, do you think you could have a story like her? Or perhaps you might come here tonight and you say, Johnny, you're one of those weird minister folks. If you really knew what I have done, if you know, Johnny, where I've been, Johnny, if you've seen the things that I've done, I could never have a story like April. I could never have a story like Shannon. I could never have a story like Reese. Well, I want to introduce to you for just a few moments tonight about a man who had an incredible story. A man who you would never say could become a Christian. A man who hated Christianity. A man who violently opposed anyone who even associated with Christianity. And in fact, a man who hated Christians so much that he killed them. And I want to share with you that story tonight, that if you're wondering, could I be a follower of Jesus Christ, that when you see this man's story tonight, you'll see that his story of becoming a Christian, that April's story of becoming a Christian, that Shannon's story of becoming a Christian, that Reese's story of becoming a Christian can also be your story. This man, as we meet him in this story tonight, is a man called Saul of Tarsus. This man hated Christianity. Let's read in Acts chapter 9. The word should appear behind me this evening, just so that you can follow along. We want to know this man's story. It tells us in Acts chapter 9, it's a book written by a doctor who was called Luke. It says this in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And he went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now I want to introduce you to this man. This man, if you're a young person here tonight, think about the man that you know in your life or the woman that you know in your life who has it all. All the qualifications, all the credentials, from the right family, from the right neighborhood. Everyone reveres this person wherever you live or wherever school you go to. This guy had it all. He was the top guy of his day. And he hated anyone who belonged to the Christian faith that he went along to the high priest in and around where he lived in Jerusalem. And he said, I hate Christians so much. Will you give me papers so that I can go into Jerusalem and I can go to all the surrounding cities and kill Christians? In fact, he hated them so much, we see just back a chapter, in Acts chapter 8, we see him popping up, verse 1 of chapter 8, and Saul was there giving approval to the death of this young Christian called Stephen. On that great day, a persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Christians are running from Saul. No doubt all of the early believers knew about Saul of Tarsus. And so they've scattered away from this persecution that's coming. And if you were to have interviewed a Christian who was running away from Jerusalem that day and you said, do you believe Saul of Tarsus could be one of us? I think they would have laughed at you. I think they would have said, it's an absolute impossibility that Saul of Tarsus, who hates us, who kills our friends, who kills Christians, could ever become a Christian. There is no way. It's absolutely impossible. He could never have a story like us. And yet, there's a little verse in the Bible that says this. Nothing is impossible with God. So we meet this man in this story. It's not looking so good at the beginning. He's on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. And look what it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, now I have a picture of him. He so hates Christians and he wants to wipe them out that he and all of his bands who are following after him, he's probably out in front of them. He's zealous to get to these Christians. He wants to exterminate them. And as he nears Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Now imagine this. We know from other parts of the Bible that this encounter, that this amazing light happened around noontime. And you can imagine in and around Jerusalem and Damascus, they actually have what is called the sun. We don't have it in Northern Ireland. They have it over there. So they actually have this thing called the sun. It's noonday, but suddenly this brilliant light flashes. It knocks everyone off their feet. They near Damascus, this light flashed from heaven around them. Saul fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Just imagine what that was like for this man. He has spent his whole life up until this second wanting to exterminate people that said that Jesus Christ was indeed God's son. And now God's son speaking to him. Saul, I know where you are. Saul, I know your story. Saul, I know where you've been. Saul, I know the Christians that you've persecuted. And yet Jesus is speaking to Saul, and maybe he's speaking to you tonight. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? But look what the next part of his story. He speaks. He's probably on his back. His eyes probably are absolutely fried with the light of this brilliant sun. But he's still able to speak. Look what it says, verse 5. He says, who are you? Maybe that's the question you're asking tonight. You see Shannon. You see Reese. You see April. And you see that Jesus has done something with him. And you're inquisitive tonight. And you're saying, who are you, Jesus? Who are you, Lord? I want to know more about you. And how does the voice respond? Look at verse 5. It says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Do you know verse 5? It says it at the top of the screen. Who are you? It's the biggest question you'll ask your whole life. As you come here tonight, just as a friend of April's, and you're looking on, can I just encourage you? This is the biggest question you'll ever have to ask in your life. Who is Jesus? Is he mad? Is he bad? Or isn't he indeed the Son of God? Saul didn't believe him. Saul didn't believe that this Jesus of Nazareth, who walked around the streets of Jerusalem, who had many people who came and followed after him, who died on a cross on that Good Friday, he did not believe that that man was Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. He couldn't believe it, and yet now the risen Christ is speaking to him, and is he speaking to you tonight? Johnny, who do you think I am? Rachel, who do you think I am? I think he's asking each one of us that question this evening. And he says, I am Jesus. Before Jesus came to earth, there was a prophecy given about him that his name would be called Jesus. Why? Because he would save people from their sins. And that's what April is testifying about tonight. When she goes under the water of baptism tonight, she's going to symbolize that she's a sinner. And that as we hold her down in the water for just a second or two, just a second, April, where are you? There's a lovely little verse of scripture that talks about this. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And when April goes under the water, it's symbolizing that she is dying to her sins. But then the verse goes on, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Son. So when April comes up out of the water, she's saying, I used to be so full of sin, but now Jesus Christ has come into my story. Just like Saul of Tarsus was apprehended by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, here April is saying, Jesus Christ is now in my heart. And when she comes up out of the water, she's saying, I have received eternal life. And that was Jesus' prayer, that people would have life and have it more abundantly. But the story goes on. Verse 6, look what it says in the screen. Jesus is speaking to Saul. He says, now get up. And go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat and he did not drink. So what's happened here to Saul? He's had his life transformed. He who had gone to Damascus to arrest Christians had been arrested by Jesus Christ himself. And you could be coming to this meeting tonight and you're going, I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I just want to come here and please April and then go. But suddenly now that you're here, you feel God starting to speak to you. That as you look at your own heart, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift that God offers you tonight is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son. But how does this story end? In Damascus, verse 10, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Ananias would have gone, Lord, what are you talking about? Are you really talking about the Saul of Tarsus, who actually we had heard is on his way to Damascus to kill us? Jesus, there's no way this guy could become a Christian. Absolutely not. There are hundreds of thousands of other people that might possibly become a Christian, but never this man. But Ananias didn't realize just how powerful Jesus is. Verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Jesus, I know you might be God, but I think I know better. There's no way that this guy could be saved. Can I encourage you tonight, if you look at your own heart and you've said, there's no way, Johnny, I could have a second chance, you can. There's a lovely verse in the scriptures that talks about God's love for us, that he can separate our sin as far as the east is from the west, and the two will never meet. He takes our sin and he hurls them into the very depths of the ocean. This is how immense and how big God's love is for you and for me. But the Lord continues, verse 15, in this story of this man's life. But the Lord said to Ananias, verse 15, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul. Now think about that person that you thought could never become a Christian. This was Saul for them. Think about that person in your school you thought could never become a Christian. Or you even look at your own life tonight and you say, I could never become a Christian. And here God is saying to you, if Saul can be converted, so can you. Brother Saul, he's now part of the family of God. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you might see again and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit immediately. Something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. What has happened to Saul? What has happened to April? Both of them believed in Jesus Christ. On that road to Damascus, Saul believed in Jesus Christ. April has believed in Jesus Christ. Secondly, what's happened to Saul? He has now belonging to the family of God. He's referred to as Brother Saul. And so April tonight is symbolizing, when she goes into the waters of baptism, that she belongs not just to her nuclear family, but she belongs to the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ here tonight. And then thirdly, Saul was baptized. And so will April be baptized in just a few moments. Because look how this little story finishes in verse 18. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent many days with the disciples in Damascus. I want to challenge you tonight with this man's transformed life. What has happened to him? Well, he would write then as an older man. He was just a little convert at this part in the story. He's just had his life transformed. But many years later, he writes as a Christian pastor and he describes what happened in his heart. He says, "For he had been rescued from the domain of darkness and he was transferred into the kingdom of light." Do you want that transformation tonight? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can experience that transformation tonight. Repent of your sins and believe on Him and receive this wonderful free gift. Let's pray, and then the team are going to lead us in our last song, and then April is going to be baptized. Our Father, we thank you for this amazing story of transformation. And our Father, you know all of our stories here tonight, whether we are your followers or whether we're simply curious this evening. And our Father, we do pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you would indeed, even this evening, transform other people's hearts here, that they might experience the new life that Shannon talked about, the new life that Reese talked about, the new life that April is symbolizing before us tonight, and this glorious new life that we have watched and witnessed with Saul of Tarsus. So speak to each one of us this evening by your Spirit, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Ross.